Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I did an extra show last week. I did an extra show because there was so much news. I haven't been on the air since Thursday. That's not a long time. Usually I'm just on Mondays and Wednesdays. So there's been 4 whole days I've been gone, and a lot has happened in the last 4 days. If you haven't heard the news that occurred right before I got on the air, Anthony the Mooch, Scaramucci, is gone. The Mooch is out!
What?
Yeah, it's the end of an era. People joked that Sean Spicer was only in office for 6 months. They said, Sean Spicer, 2017 to 2017. Well, for the Mooch, it's July 2017 to July 2017. I think it's been 5 days. This era will be 5 days long. Oh, Mooch. They had just hired someone at Saturday Night Live to play you, and now you're gone. It's so rough. I mean, who's going to suck their own... I can't say that on the air now. That's too bad. Scaramucci gave us so much joy, so much delight, so much horror. You know, you always wonder how low this president can go. And then, at the bottom of the barrel, you found him. The Mooch. It was a very important 5 days. He got rid of Reince Priebus in those 5 days. Sean Spicer had barely packed his suitcase. The irony is that they... Priebus and Spicer resigned because of Mooch, and then Mooch comes in, and now Mooch is gone. And don't think, I've already heard people say, oh, well, the new chief of staff, General Kelly, he's that just shows he's taking charge. No! No, I don't know how long Kelly's going to last either. The problem is not the sinking, the rearranging of the deck chairs. The problem is the sinking of the Titanic. The chaos is not caused by who Trump hires. They're caused by Trump itself. In fact, one of the reasons why I liked the Mooch, and I'm going to miss him now just like I miss Spicy, was because he had the same temperament as the president. A little more calm. Mooch was a little more calm, a little less crass than Donnie. But not much. Not much. You could kind of feel like they were in the same category. When the Mooch talked, I felt like it was Trump talking. You couldn't tell where one ended, one began. I'm surprised he's gone. I mean, I don't even know what I can say on air anymore, Mark. I'm talking to Mark Grimaldi, my producer. You know, there's certain words that we know we can't say, the F word. But some of these words, I guess I'll just be careful. Apparently, you can say grab them by the pussy on air, but you can't say suck your own. I'm not even sure. I don't want to. But you know, who am I running afoul of? The FCC, Federal Communications Commission, run by Donald Trump, whose mouth is infinitely more foul on a minute-to-minute basis than I am in a month? You know, you have to laugh. I mean, you have to either laugh or cry, and laughing's a lot more fun. And in fact, one of the things that those close to Trump have said and leaked, and got to get those leakers, is that actually laughter is what bothers Donnie the most. And that actually makes sense when you think about how insecure and narcissistic this guy is. Laughing at him harms him a lot more than crying. If he hurts people and they cry, well, he has no sympathy. He has no heart. He'd enjoy it. He's a sadist, right? But if you laugh at him, then Well, we have the power. This is a president who, more than any other, reversed the Teddy Roosevelt maxim. Teddy Roosevelt, of course, said, speak softly and carry a large stick. This president speaks very, very loudly and carries a very, very small stick.
I know words. I have the best words.
You do, Donnie. But when I say you carry a small stick, I'm not referring to the size of your hands. I'm referring to the fact that you can't get anything accomplished. But you talk really loudly. You are all about grandiose promises. We're going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it, and healthcare is simple, and we'll get it done, no problem. It'll be a better plan. It'll be such a great plan. You're going to get so tired of winning. You're going to win so much you get tired of winning, or whatever he said in his disjointed speech. So much has happened just since Thursday. There was the death of Trump Care, which is a major occurrence in American history, and I'm going to get to that. There's this craziness going on in the communications land. There's Congress forcing the president against his will to sanction Russia. There's the crazy transgender military ban tweet that even the president's own military is not implementing. I mean, this is wild. Okay, Congress doesn't listen to the president, right? That's pretty clear with the Affordable Care Act and Russia and everything. The Supreme Court isn't listening to Donald Trump. They have largely invalidated his Muslim ban. But those are co-equal branches of government. What I don't think we've ever seen before in American history is military leaders disobeying the commander-in-chief because they think he's bonkers. And they're right. And I'm glad they are. And this isn't some deep state Obama conspiracy. These are people Donald Trump hired. Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer, a man who was the single most racist senator in the United States Senate when he was chosen, a man who no one hates immigrants more than Jeff Sessions. No one's is more racist in the United States Congress than Jeff Sessions. No one is more anti-LGBT. No one is more harmful to people who have tried marijuana. I mean, Jeff Sessions is a hard right conservative Donald Trump fan's, can I say, wet dream? I mean, he's their guy. And now Donald's attacking him because he dared to follow the law and recuse himself. Perhaps the most interesting part is Donald Trump denying that his government's in any turmoil. You know, it is funny and it is sad. And you can cry and you can be angry. And those emotions are very justified. But I still think laughter is the most appropriate emotion. In laughing at the Donald, I do not at all mean to diminish the seriousness of what we confront. I mean, we have a man baby who's president of the United States. But, you know, England had them too. There were times when the king died and the new king was 6 years old, 7 years old, 4 years old, 2 years old. It's happened. And the ship of state kept going. England kept going. Nobody took the child king seriously, just like no one takes Donald Trump seriously. Now, it's true that we're losing a lot. For example, on the world stage, we have now given up the leader of the free world status. We are no longer the leader of the free world. Countries no longer look to us. They no longer see us as a great nation that largely leads the way, a nation that has saved the planet from dictatorship. They no longer look to us for any moral values. They don't even look to us for economic values anymore. People understand that, well, we don't have any adults in charge. Okay, we don't. But we'll survive this. If nothing else, as long as we keep laughing, unless and until Donald Trump starts banning the comedians, and he might. He might. Remember how Vladimir Putin started. First, he banned newscasts that opposed him, and later on he took on the internet. As long as we have the comics, as long as you can watch John Oliver, we'll survive this. We'll fight this, and we'll survive this. I was watching, I'm trying to remember her name, the Russian, let's get it, It's Masha. Masha Gessen. Watch. Masha Gessen is a anti-Putin activist who's Russian, who has been speaking out against Putin for decades until, obviously, he almost killed her. That's what he does to his critics, and she made it to America. But I was watching her on The Old Daily Show, which I rarely watch anymore, frankly, because I'm not a huge fan of Trevor Noah. But it was a good interview because she's fantastic. And she was saying, talking about the difference between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. And, of course, there's some tremendous differences between them. Although they both have autocratic tendencies, you know, Vladimir Putin's a very controlled person. He controls his emotions. He shares very little. He is uses mystery to have his power. He certainly goes out and kills people, but he does so with as little information as possible, whereas Donald Trump wears his emotions on his sleeve, can't help himself, as the man baby that he is. And I want to be clear here, most babies are better behaved. Most six-year-olds are better behaved. But there are some that throw a tantrum, and we know what it looks like. And, well, that's our president right now. So in some ways, they're very, very different. But in one way, they're the same. I thought this was very interesting. How are Putin and Trump very similar? How do they have the similar autocratic instinct? Masha Gessen said it's in the way that they lie. She said politicians sometimes lie. It happens. Not that uncommon. But when most politicians lie, they try to persuade you that they're right. They try to persuade you of the truth. They lie, but they give a good lie, and they use logic, and they try to say, hey, you know, try to convince you. Not Donald Trump, not Vladimir Putin. When they lie, they not only know they're lying, they know you know they're lying, and they know they have no hope of convincing you. A lie for them is not about misstating the truth. It's about showing power. And the example she gives is a bully in a schoolyard who grabs a little kid's lunchbox and holds it over the little kid's head. And the kid says, hey, that's my lunchbox. You stole that. To which point the bully says, I don't have your lunchbox, he says, while holding the lunchbox over the little kid's head. I don't know what you're talking about. The bully is not lying to persuade the little kid that he doesn't have the lunchbox. He knows he's lying. The little kid knows he's lying. Everyone knows he's lying. But he's using it for power. And that's how Donald Trump lies as well. Donald Trump doesn't believe his own lies. I mean, he's stupid. He's certainly ignorant of the ways of Washington, but he's not stupid enough to believe his own lies. He knew that the birther nonsense was nonsense, just like he knows that Hillary Clinton Barack Obama had a much larger inauguration crowd than he did. He's seeing how far he can push people. He's seeing, can he get a spokesperson to say a lie? I mean, that's why he put Spicer through the inauguration claims, right? He wanted to see if Spicer would lie for him, an obvious lie. It's the same reason why in 1984, Big Brother is trying to force, and the agents of Big Brother are trying to force the protagonist, Winston, to say 2 plus 2 equals 5. Not because anyone believes 2 plus 2 equals 5, but because if he can persuade someone to say it, he has shown his power over them. So let's retain our power over Donald Trump. Let's retain our power to laugh. I can't wait for Saturday Night Live. I hope it's this Saturday. And I already miss the mooch. Give me a call, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. We're going to win so much.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the end of an era. I already missed the mooch. You know, Scaramucci, there was a certain joy in how awful he was. He represented everything that is Donald Trump, right? I mean, he represented in his tone, in the way he talked, everything that Donald Trump was about. And this is the guy who can say to 15,000 people in the military, you're fired, in a tweet. You're fired because I'm a bigot. And the military don't even listen to him. And that's good for the military. They know that you shouldn't be able to issue orders through a tweet. And the general said, well, we'll wait and see if the defense secretary, who, by the way, is opposed to kicking transgender people out of the military, we'll wait and see if the defense secretary puts it out to the generals. And if they do, well, then we'll take you seriously. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Dave, line one, in Humboldt County, California. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Mark, good to be hearing you again. I've been a long-time fan, as you know.
Yes, I know. One of my longest.
Yeah, the issue that has been concerning me in trying to get a philosophical overview, a picture of it, there are people who care about other people. There are people who want to do right to benefit us, the people. And then there's another group of people that are strictly, what's in it for me? How do I use others to benefit myself? And I ask the question, what type have gotten themselves into power in our government now?
These are people who only care about themselves. I mean, that's one way Trump and the Mooch and Putin all have in common. They only care about themselves. In fact, Masha Gessen said something also very interesting, I thought, on the show. She said that sanctions against the Russian people, she thought, were not very effective because if you harm 200 million Russians, it doesn't affect Putin and his cronies much. And in fact, it allows him to say that the United States is out to get us. But if you have sanctions against the 300, 400, 500 or so oligarchs that are Putin's friends and run Russia, those sanctions matter to the Russian dictatorship leadership because they, like Donald Trump, care only about themselves and don't give a damn about their people. And in that way, Trump and Putin and the Mooch, they're all very similar.
They're willing to do what it takes to get the office, though. They will deceive. They will mislead. And so I keep wondering, how do you think in a democracy where we, the people in general, get to go in and elect, vote for the people that we think will do the best for us, the people? And the answer keeps coming up. It just don't happen. People won't go in and vote for the kind of psychopaths that are in power.
Well, let's see. We'll see. First in Virginia in November 2017, we in Virginia and New Jersey, but mostly Virginia, have a chance to leave a message for the rest of the country. And then 2018, the midterms. You know, this, if nothing else, hopefully has woken up a bunch of people as to the danger that happens when you don't take the time to vote. Or when you don't vote for the Democratic nominee, even if she's imperfect. This is Mark Levine, 888-48-MARK, back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, calling at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. This is the president who speaks very loudly, tweets extremely loudly. Carries a very small stick. No one takes him seriously, not Europe, not North Korea, not the Congress, not the Senate, not the House, not the Supreme Court, not even his own generals take him seriously. I guess there are some people in some places in America that actually, but see, I don't even think his people believe him. See, I don't even think the people who voted for Donald Trump, most of them are ignorant enough to believe his lies. I don't think they do. They know that the lies are inconsistent. They just wanted to have a revolution. They wanted to upend the government. They wanted America to fall apart because they're unhappy. They want everyone to be unhappy. Misery loves company. But I just don't think most of them are ignorant enough to believe Donald Trump's own lies. At least I hope not. If you're a Donald Trump supporter and you would like to call in, I'd love to hear it. Even the Republicans I've talked to, Even the ones who voted for him tell me, yeah, we know he's lying. We know he's a showman. But we feel like, hey, if we get our tax cut, America can go to hell. You know, it's not that important. What's most important is that, well, we get our tax cut. Let me go back to Dave. I know he's got another thing to say. Go ahead, Dave. You wanted to say one more thing.
You know, I think we all have to ask ourselves, and I know you have, and you've done your part, and that is, are we people? Am I somebody that cares about other people? Or do I just see it all as what's in it for me? How do I get more? And if I were a mega millionaire, billionaire type, and I want more and more and more, and I don't care about taking what little the poor have left, then I got to take a look at that. Is this what I want to be? I guess if I were one of these people in government now, even billionaires that they may be, I would be wondering, is life even worth living, exploiting everybody? Is it giving them any kind of satisfaction, happiness? I think we've got to find verifiable ways that we can get our best interests, and that's helping everybody on the top docket. And Dave, I know you've tried in Virginia. And I
yeah, Dave, I'll tell you, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, in essence, the difference between the Republican and Democratic parties are Democrats, in general, and, you know, we can all find exceptions, but in general, liberals, progressives, Democrats, whatever you want to call us, we are looking to see how best a community can work. We know it takes a village to raise a child. We want the most successful government programs. We want to not do the ones that aren't successful, but we want everyone to have equal opportunity, a chance to rise out of poverty. We are looking out for everyone. We believe in the community. And I think that Republicans, conservatives, they are looking out for themselves and themselves only. They don't give a damn about people other than themselves. Maybe they care about their own family, but it doesn't go much farther than that. Maybe their own church, but they don't care about their community. They don't care about their country. They don't care about people outside of themselves. They are the party of selfishness, and that's why Paul Ryan worships Ayn Rand, who talked about the virtue of selfishness. They're all about look out only for myself. But you asked the question, Dave, are these people happy? And I don't think they are. I don't think Donald Trump is happy. Donald Trump is president of the United States. Never in a million years did anyone, including Donald Trump, believe he would become president of the United States. He did it on a lark, and yet he's never happy. He's president, but he wants the largest inauguration crowds. He wants to say that he's the best president since Abraham Lincoln. He wants people to worship him like a god, and it ain't happening. And he seems to me this pathologically insecure human being who can't live without lots and lots of people praising him all the time. And listen, I like praise. We all like praise. Compliments are good. But I want earned compliments. I want compliments I feel like I deserve. And I certainly don't need them every second of the day. Donald Trump needs that. And it is pathological. And I actually don't think he's happy. I've never understood, you know, when you've got $100 million, the extra value in the next $50 million, what does it give you? It's a scorecard. You can't spend it all. What is it that he wants? And I actually don't think he's happy, to be honest with you. And I don't think Scaramucci seems like a very happy camper either.
Well, I think we're taking an honest look at something that needs to be looked at, not just by us, but by them. They have to wonder, what in the world are we doing? If we exploit everybody that we know, everybody that's in the room, are we going to reach a real happiness? Let me leave you with a quote, Mark. Robert Ingersoll, I bet you are a fan of his. And he said, the only good is happiness. The time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here. And the way to be happy is to help make other people happy. Being in government, trying to do right for the people, that's what's going to make us happy.
That's a great quote, Dave. And the other quote that I remind people of is that when we laugh at Donald Trump, that's what pains him the most. If he makes us cry or he makes us angry, that makes him happy. But when we laugh at him, he just can't take it. That's why he's obsessed with all the comedy shows and CNN and everything else. So let's have a hearty chuckle at his expense as we never forget what's really going on in the country. That's the other thing. We can't let our attention be diverted by the fact that we have more news in a day than we used to have in a month, and make sure that we do talk, and I will talk after the break, about health care, about transgenders, people serving in the military valiantly. we have to remember the policy and not let the circus get over our heads. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm going to try to cover a lot in the next 14 minutes. First of all, I can't help but being amused at the Mooch being out. Apparently, he was, according to CNN, he was essentially escorted off the White House property earlier this afternoon.
What?
In my vision, I see them carrying him out, kicking and screaming and flailing. I don't know if you heard, but just a couple days ago, Reince Priebus, you can't make this stuff up, folks, was punked by the Trump team. They had this motorcade, and they all were in the motorcade, and they went to some event in Long Island, I think it was, and they all get back in the motorcade, and one of the Trump aides gets in the car, and then Reince Priebus gets in the car, and the Trump aide leads out the other side of the car, and then they divert his car out of the motorcade since the motorcade was going back to the White House. You just can't make this up. If you played this on some comedy, it just wouldn't be believable. It's still not believable. So, Reggie, line three in Georgia. How are you, Reggie?
Happy Monday to you too, Mark.
Happy Monday.
Well, who is he going to hire next? The next biggest?
Oh, I don't know.
Wimp or
I don't know. Someone to amuse us all. The thing is that it's not about who he hires. The problem are not the hirees. It's the hirer. That's the thing. He's going to have to. I thought the Mooch was the bottom of the barrel. I don't know. When you scrape up the bottom of the barrel, are there bacteria or something left? I don't know who could be lower than the Mooch. But we'll find out.
Is he going to throw everybody else under the bus that he hires?
He's going to throw everybody under the bus because no one can possibly serve him truthfully and honestly and ethically. So he's going to have to go lower and lower and lower. I don't know. Maybe Omarosa is next, you know, or maybe Alex Jones. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, folks. I mean, we have people with even less morality than you know, Sean Spicer and the Mooch. I don't know.
Or Kimberly Guilfoyle from Fox News. Remember?
Who knows? I'll tell you what. I want to end our conversation quickly because I do want to move on to healthcare. But thanks for calling in, Reggie. I appreciate it. Let me go on because I only got about 10 minutes left. It's very important for us to understand what happened in healthcare. What, we got one more caller? All right. Ugh, I can't resist. If I have to, I'll do more healthcare on Wednesday. Okay. Jake, line one, Eureka, California. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a replacement even worse than the Mooch, how about crazy Kellyanne Conway? She can tell us.
Well, I'm thinking she may be next. That's not out of the question. That would be fun, and then we'll see how long she lasts until she's fired. She may last longer because she is a better liar than Sean Spicer ever was. I think that's part of my affection for Spicy, is that he was such a bad liar, you know? There's something about a bad liar. It's kind of like, you know, when your 16-year-old lies about taking the car, you get really mad. But when your 6-year-old has, you know, chocolate all over his face and says, "Mom, I didn't take the cookie," you're not mad. You laugh, right? You smile. And that's why I miss Sean Spicer, because Spicy lied like a 6-year-old who stole a chocolate chip cookie and denied it. So,
yeah.
You know, and then the mooch was like the 5-year-old who grabs the cookie from the 6-year-old, stomps it all over the place, you know, and of course probably you have to restrain in behind the little kiddie bars. But the cast of characters, I swear. Saturday Night Live, I can't wait. I just can't wait. Thanks for your call, Jake. I appreciate it. We only got a few minutes left. I do want to talk about having health care because it is important. As much as I enjoy all this craziness, and I do enjoy it because you have to laugh rather than cry. It's important to talk about what really happened on late in the night on Thursday night at 1:30 a.m. when John McCain cast the deciding vote, killing, at least for now, the non-Trump care solution. And if I don't get a chance to finish it, I promise you I'll finish on Wednesday. It's important that we understand exactly what happened here. So let me begin the conversation, and again, if we don't finish it, we'll go on to Wednesday. So for 7 years, virtually every Republican in Congress lied to their constituents. And it's important to understand that they thought they could get away with it when they said they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare, because it was a political winner for them, and because they were sure Hillary Clinton would win the election. I mean, no one expected Russian hacking and James Comey with his weird investigation that made no sense, even though he had already cleared Hillary and had no new evidence, and convincing unreconstructed Bernie bros to believe the Russian lies. No one thought that that would tip the balance. So the Republicans bluffed, and they never thought their bluff would be called. They could rail against Obamacare without people ever realizing that, in fact, the Affordable Care Act was the best thing to happen to American health care. I mean, short of universal health care and the public option, things that we don't have. But it was the best that we'd had in 50 years, and they were like poker players, confident. They could go all in because they knew their opponent would fold. So originally, Republicans fought against universal care, which, you know, cheaply, effectively provides health care to more than a billion people all around the globe at a lower cost with greater lifespans than our own. They fought against it by saying that private companies can't compete with the government, right? The government is too good, too effective, they told us. It will work too well. That's why we can't have a public option. Insurance companies can't possibly compete. The government will do it at a much cheaper cost with much better outcomes, and it will kill private health insurance in America. That's why they fought against the public option, and that was true. So because they couldn't have this very good system, they settled on the imperfect system that's still a step forward, the Affordable Care Act, which they promptly named Obamacare to try to make a really middle-of-the-road solution, first proposed by the Heritage Foundation, put forward by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, to make it somehow some left-wing conspiracy. And now, as we were running up to this vote, Republicans were claiming Obamacare was collapsing, right? But in fact, they were trying to sabotage it. So you might remember that the only reason why there's no Medicaid expansion, why Affordable Care Act was never fully implemented in every state, is because the United States Supreme Court made up new law. The United States Supreme Court, and a lot of people didn't focus on this at the time that they held the Affordable Care Act was constitutional. They said that states could opt out of the Constitution, which actually was part of the problem with the South, I seem to recall, 150 years ago. They said that the Constitution Supremacy Clause, which says that federal law trumps state law, they said they don't have to obey it anymore. Even though, well, you know, they did under Ronald Reagan and everyone else. Anyway, so half the state legislatures, including Virginia, said, we don't want to obey the part of the ACA that's Medicaid expansion. So in those states, the Republican states, the states that didn't obey or fully implement the Affordable Care Act, yeah, premiums start to skyrocket and markets start to collapse. And these uncertainties caused by the Supreme Court's lawlessness and the state legislators rushing to do the political thing, even if it led to the deaths of their own constituents and the throwing away of billions of dollars. I mean, it's not exactly the fiscally conservative thing to do. All of that caused premiums to go up even higher. So even though the Affordable Care Act had kept the premium increase down to its lowest in 50 years, the Republicans kept throwing monkey wrenches into the mix designed to ruin it. They would say, this is collapsing. So kill Obamacare. Obamacare is failing. Donald Trump said it's imploding. Of course, the only thing that was imploding or collapsing was the parts that they were trying to destroy, the parts they were sabotaging themselves. You know, it's kind of like you shoot a man and you miss his heart, but you wing his arm. And you say, look, that man's arm is collapsing. He's failing. We must kill the rest of the man. But in fact, Obamacare kept going ahead. As much as the Republicans tried to sabotage it in state after state, the Supreme Court, Donald Trump threatening not to pay the insurance companies under the act, which would obviously be a violation of law. It would lead to a massive lawsuit. That was causing insurance companies who do not like uncertainty to raise premiums. So they lied when they said it was collapsing. They lied when they said it was bad. And most importantly, and here's the easiest lie to find out, Republicans lie when they claim they had a plan to replace it with, because obviously they don't. But politically, their lies would have been fine if Hillary Clinton had just won the presidency. I mean, they know repeal will kill tens of thousands of innocent Americans. They're just going to die, because if tens of millions lose health care, tens of thousands die every year. And they know that their constituents in rural states that have Medicaid expansion, states like Kentucky and West Virginia, will blame them if they pass something that leads to tens of thousands of Americans dying. But they thought that was okay because they never thought they'd have to vote for it. So when they voted to repeal Obamacare, including these legislators, including John McCain, including, Lisa Murkowski, maybe even Susan Collins, I'm not sure. I'll have to check that. But when they voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act the first time, they knew President Obama would veto it. It was a safe vote. So they can pretend to be conservative. Well, they are conservative. They can pretend to not give a damn about their constituents because they persuaded their constituents that they wouldn't be harmed. But the reality is everyone in the Beltway knew that people would be harmed. And a lot of people outside the Beltway knew as well. See, they had persuaded the good people of Kentucky and West Virginia and those in Tea Party land for 7 years that the problems were Obamacare, when really the problems in the system are because the Affordable Care Act doesn't go far enough. It doesn't have universal care. It's still employer-based. It still has lack of transparency. That's the current system before the Affordable Care Act, before the ACA, before Obamacare, and they were blaming it on Obamacare. So when they wanted to go back to the prior system, in other words, no transparency, massive costs, no universal care, still employer-based, and actually losing subsidies and losing health care in order to get a big tax cut to wealthy donors, well, even their own supporters could see it. So what was the way out for them? The way out at this point was only thing they could do was pretend they're fixing something that they can't fix and have no intention to fix. And that's why it was a moving ball. That's why they didn't know what they were voting on. They had to keep juggling the balls up in the air and point the finger at everyone else and tell everyone you don't intend to do what in fact you're doing. That's why they did everything in secret, just to get something, anything out the door. They knew the president would sign it. And if it failed, they could say, hey, I tried, without actually doing anything, right? All politics, no substance. Indeed, is the essence of the Republican Party of no. That's been around since Newt Gingrich. But what happened with John McCain causing the final death of it, what happened was the Republicans showed Americans that they don't care, showed Americans that they would sacrifice everyone's health care just to give their donors a big tax cut. And yet they actually didn't pass anything. They showed that they were politically cruel as well as incompetent. We're going to talk more about this on Wednesday. There's a lot more to talk about with healthcare. For now, leave comments at MarkLevineTalk.com. This is Mark Levine signing off.